Well, again, good morning, everyone. Just want to welcome you guys again to AONYC. If this is your first time with us, we just want to say welcome. You belong. This is family. And our heart is to be with Jesus, to do what Jesus did, and to become like him. Amen. Amen. And so we've been going through a series on the book of Luke, and today we begin chapter 2. All right, we finished chapter 1. Way to go, guys. We did it. But we're moving on today. And last week, Rob and Chelsea preached an awesome sermon called A Prophet of Your Time, about being people that speak up for God in our day and age in 2024. And today, we're going to continue our series. And the title of my sermon is Worthy of My Praise. Worthy of My Praise. You know, many people, places and things in this world receive praise, but today we're going to talk about how there's only one who is worthy of everyone's praise. Amen. Only one. And I want to encourage you today to listen. Listen for the ways God is trying to speak to you individually. You know, I really believe that you are here for a reason. And that today, God wants to change your life in some way through his word. Amen. Through his Holy Spirit. And so let's be attentive to God's word today. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Let's do it. And so just to summarize the beginning verses in chapter 2, basically what's going on here is the Roman Emperor Caesar, he's taking a census of the whole Roman Empire. And so because of this, everyone has to go back to their hometown to register for this census. And so because of this, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus go to Bethlehem. And so they're in the town of David. But while they're there in Bethlehem, the time comes for Mary to give birth to the Savior of the world. And so as we read here, we're going to see different people and their reactions to finding out that the Messiah has been born. All right, so I want you to pay attention to the consistency of people's reactions when they find out that the anointed one, that Jesus, the Messiah, has been born. We're going to start reading here in verse 8 of chapter 2. Let's read.
All right, come on, Mark.
It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. I probably would be too. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." Amen. What a powerful beginning to this chapter. I just want to talk about what's going on here. And so these shepherds are together, and all of a sudden, this angel of the Lord appears to them. I love how it says the radiance of God's glory surrounds them, and they are freaked out. They are scared out of their minds. They don't know what to do with themselves. Probably a lot of us, if an angel of the Lord appeared to you today, you'd be like, "I don't know what to do right now. I'm just trying to chill. It's 64 degrees outside. But hey, nice to meet you, angel." But this is a big moment in Scripture, because he's announcing this good news, right? That word gospel means good news of great joy, not just for some people, not just for some people groups, but for all nations. That this news is important for everyone to hear. Not just meant to change some lives, but to change all of our lives. It's this news that the Messiah has been born. They've been waiting hundreds of years for his coming, and the day has come. And we just got to take a moment to imagine this. An army of angels, thousands upon thousands of angels. Whatever a vast array means, but I mean, try, anyone a visual learner here? I mean, just try to picture that and think about, man, I guess this is an important moment in Scripture. I guess this is a pretty big deal that if the armies of heaven, what's their response? Praising God. So the first example we see of people or beings in Scripture saying, hey, Jesus is worthy of my praise, is the angels in heaven praising God. And keep your eye out for that word praise, praising God. The angels were saying, he's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of our praise. This is good news. Yeah. They're saying, glory to God in highest heaven. This is their natural response as angels. And so if heaven stops to worship and praise God because of this news, don't you think that we should too? Yeah. Don't you think that we should maybe follow their lead and how they respond to this? Guys, this is in Scripture for a reason. God wants us to see the importance of Jesus coming, but also the news that he's bringing for sinners like us. Amen? And so we already see there's this proper response to Jesus of praise, adoration, and worship. And so let's continue reading and let's keep our eye out for this theme. Let's pick up in verse 15. It says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary, I love this part, kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them. Yeah. And so now we see this moment where the shepherds are looking into this message that the angel announced. They're like, let's go fact check this angel, right? Make sure this is legit. And so they go to meet baby Jesus. And they are amazed. They're blown away by this moment. And so the shepherds tell this story to Jesus' parents of like, hey, we just got surrounded by an army of angels talking about your son. Like, I mean, imagine Mary's reaction. Like, what's happening? Wait, what? That was about my son? And so they're taking in all this knowledge from the shepherds. But again, in verse 20, what was the shepherd's response to the coming of Jesus, having this moment of meeting Jesus? Praising God. And so not only are the angels praising God, but now these humans, these shepherds, have stopped what they're doing and are praising God and saying he's worthy of our praise as well. And so now we're seeing that, okay, it's not just angels, it's people like us realizing something that's important. And we're going to keep reading here and meet a man named Simeon. This might be one of my favorite parts of the passage we're going to read today. And we're going to see his response and his kind of encounter with meeting baby Jesus is a little bit different. And we're going to see why here in verse 25. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's read here in verse 25-35. It says, at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, Now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Verse 33. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. And we'll stop there. So we see this beautiful moment here that Simeon has with Jesus. You know, Simeon, like many Jews of his time, he was waiting his whole life for this king of Israel, the promised Messiah. I don't know if there's things that we wait for our whole lives as much as some of these people in Scripture. I know some of us are waiting for that job we want. I know some of us are waiting for that relationship or to be married, but those things come eventually, hopefully. But this guy, his whole life is waiting. And in this moment, it says the Spirit. So God's like, hey, Simeon, just go to the temple. Go to the temple right now. And as he goes there, he runs into Mary and Joseph and the Savior of the world. I mean, I think about that moment for Simeon. I mean, he must have been crying. He must have been, honestly, at moments without words. And I love how it says he takes the baby in his hands, right? He's carrying the person he cares most about. And maybe it was kind of like a, you know, Simba moment. I don't know. He's just carrying him, you know. And what is he saying? Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. What an interesting thing to say in such a joyful moment. To now he feels like, because I've met Jesus, because I've met the Savior, I'm good. I could die right now and I would die in peace. But do we feel that way about our life? Do you feel that way? Hey, I have a relationship with Jesus, and if there's other things that come my way in life, great. But even if not, I'm content. I could pass right now and be grateful to just know who God is. You know, can you say that about yourself this morning? And so just like everyone else in this passage so far, Simeon's response is what? He's worthy of my praise. Jesus is worthy of my praise. His eyes saw salvation that he was waiting for, not just for him to experience, but for all of us to experience as well. It says Jesus is a light. I love this. He's a light for God to reveal himself to the nations. So God's saying, hey, I want to be known, and I'm going to reveal who I am as God and my character and my nature through Jesus. And this isn't just for the Jews. This is for all nations. And so Simeon's like, he's kind of almost preaching. He's having this moment with Jesus and saying, hey, this is why this is so important. And so, church, we must be imitators of Simeon. Amen. We must be people that really have this expectant faith and desire to know Jesus, but also help other people see who he is. You know, in the same way, when we come to know Jesus and receive forgiveness and actually get right with God by repenting and being baptized, we should have that same confidence in our salvation that we can say, Lord, let your servant die in peace. Dismiss, Lord, I am your servant. I've come to know you, and I don't fear death anymore. I mean, what a gift to have in life that you can wake up every day and not have to fear death as a follower of Jesus. You know, we can underestimate that, but imagine what Simeon was feeling. Do you have that peace that he had? Does your relationship with God give you that same peace? I want to encourage you to think about that today. You know, there's very few people in my life that remind me so much of Simeon. But someone that Simeon reminds me of is a man named Philip Lester. And I don't think I've ever dedicated a sermon to someone, but today I want to dedicate this sermon to Philip Lester. I'll share more about why in a moment. But I just want to introduce him a little bit. Let's get this next slide up. So this is Philip. You might be like, who is this dude with the van? What's going on here, Mark? Like, why is this relevant to Scripture? Well, I'll answer that question here with some of these slides. But Philip grew up Jewish on the West Coast in San Diego. And he was brought up in a religion that said, no, Jesus is nothing more than a great teacher. And he wrestled with that as a young boy, as a young man. And he decided, you know, I'm going to diligently study these scriptures and figure out what is the truth about Jesus? What is the truth about the Messiah? And so he started really studying out the New Testament. He went to a Bible school so he could hear some other perspectives on scripture that weren't just what he grew up hearing. And then eventually he got really involved with our fellowship of churches that started in Gainesville, Florida. And this is him. He learned how to play guitar. He was an amazing, beautiful classical guitarist. Yeah. And he felt like, you know what? Because music really was his thing. But once he became a Christian, he started to feel like, I think my life is now about helping people see that Jesus is who they're looking for. That Jesus is the Messiah. And so he still played music, but his mindset was, I'm just going to use my gifts for God. And what I do, the concerts I do, the talents that I have, I just want to point people to the Savior. And so Philip continued to live his life. He moved from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast, to New Jersey. And while he was in New Jersey, he met my parents. And so this is my mom and dad getting baptized in 1995, making Jesus Lord. And then this is me in 2010. With Philip at my baptism when I decided to follow Jesus. And so Philip is why I'm here. Philip's why I'm here today. Philip's why I know my wife. Philip's why my son even exists. Little baby Jace back there. Because Philip had the compassion to help my mom want to see who Jesus is. And then my mom helping my dad who see Jesus is. You know, Philip passed away about a half a month ago. And he lived an amazing life. You know, I zoomed in to his memorial service. And even in his old age, with dementia and Parkinson's, he baptized someone in his nursing home. And they were at his memorial service, and Philip's brother was talking about Philip. And he's waving to their new sister in Christ. And I'm just like, that's the dream right there. That I'm so convinced about Jesus that even when I'm in my almost deathbed in a nursing home, that I'm still looking to the person in the bed next to me, saying, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know he's the Messiah? You know, Philip lived a life that said he's worthy of my praise. And his parents disagreed, his family disagreed. You know, similar to Simeon, Simeon's thing was like, Lord, I believe what you're telling me, that I won't die until I meet Jesus. Philip felt like, Lord, I want to help my dad know Jesus before he dies and before I die. And when his dad was 80 years old, he baptized his dad, a devout Jewish man. His whole life told Philip, you're wrong, you're crazy, this is a waste of time what you're doing. And Philip was able to help his dad see who Jesus is. And I'm sure that brought him a lot of peace. You know, I wish Philip could have met Jace. I feel like that would be a similar moment, you know, that when it says, I have seen your salvation, just for him to see Jace and be like, this is a human being that is here because I talked to Mark's mom out of Staples about God. And now Jace is here. And for me, you know, it makes me emotional just to think about, like, the power of one person's life. The power of one soul who really gets the gospel, right? Who really knows who Jesus is. You know, who's trying to currently help you see your need for Jesus? Who's your Philip? Who is being a Philip to you or a Simeon to you, right? And another question I want to ask you is, who are you trying to be a Philip for? Who are you trying to be a Simeon for? Who's someone you're trying to help see what you know about Jesus? You know, maybe this is your first time coming out today to our Sunday service, and hey, kudos to you. It takes courage and bravery to enter into a new place and meet new people. But maybe God's been moving in your life. Maybe he's saying, hey, I want to make myself known to you. And you're saying, you know, I want that, God. You know, we want to encourage you. We love getting in the Bible together. You know, Kachi shared her incredible testimony, how she was searching, and God led her to Scripture, led her to learn the things that he wanted her to learn. And so if this is new for you, if you feel like, man, I want to grow deeper in Jesus, you know, ask someone who brought you. We have an amazing Bible study series, but maybe you've been studying the Bible. You know, maybe you've been having some Bible studies, reading Scripture, but you've yet to really say by your actions and by your life, yeah, he's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my life. And I think if that's you, I want to encourage you to think about, if the angels realized he's worthy of praise, if the heavens realize that, if people in moment in Scripture realize he's worthy of praise, then God wants to help you see the same thing, but you got to want to see it. You got to want to see that he's trying to get the same good news to you, but he's got to get through your heart. He's got to get through your obstacles, but you have to let him in. Amen? You know, we meet another person here in the Scripture and her response. And this is just another picture of Philip. Great picture of him rocking out, living life to the full. We're going to meet Anna here, and she's kind of our last character in this passage. So let's start reading here in verse 36. It says, Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. That's incredible. Verse 38, she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. And so I'm sure you guys by this point are picking up on a theme here, right? Now we see Anna, a widow at age 84, every day, constantly, day and night, praying and fasting in the temple. And she hears Simeon talking to Mary and Joseph. And what's her response? It says in verse 28, she began praising God. Praising God. And she didn't keep it to herself either. It says she talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly. Right, she didn't keep this good news to herself. And so I think a question I want to ask us today is, if Anna here at age 84, worshiping God day and night, fasting and praying with expectant faith for the Savior, she meets the Messiah and responds with praise and adoration, what excuse do we have as young people?
Yeah.
I mean, really. Come up with your best shot right now in your head. What's my excuse for not going after God with all my heart?
All right, come on, man.
What is it? You know, she could have made excuses. One, I'm 84. I'm done. I'm just chilling. I'm chilling. I've been waiting my whole life. Doesn't seem like it's happening. She could have been starting to doubt God. That's legit. You know, she could have been making excuses like, hey, I fasted and prayed enough. I mean, what else am I going to do, God? She could have been very discouraged, but she kept going. And at age 84, she meets the Savior. And she doesn't just then go home and, you know, with her crutch or whatever she had. I don't know. She walked like that. And then just like think about it and have a quiet time about it. She goes and tells everyone. She goes and makes disciples at age 84. And I read this and I'm like, I want to be more like Anna. I want to follow her example. She doesn't make excuses either. She says, he's worthy of my praise.
Yeah.
Even though I lost my husband when we were just married, even though I've been through a lot, he's worthy of my praise. And that's what I want to drill home to us this morning. Is that Jesus is worthy of our obedience, of our worship, of our adoration. We have the same Messiah, the same good news, but our response is not always the same as them. We have the same message, the same Jesus, but our response is not always praise. It's not always obedience. And I've been there. And so if we aren't responding with the same praise that they were, it's either that we are getting a different message or we're just not fully understanding how good the good news is. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not God's fault. The good news hasn't gotten messed up in Scripture. We're not reading something different or finding out something different than they are. The reality is that we have to take time as young people, as students of Scripture, to realize what is being said here so that we can live that life that is a life of praise to God. But he's done it right. It's a perfect plan. He's given us Jesus. But we need to repent and have a change of heart and mind and think about, man, am I responding in the same way? You know, do we respond to the good news of Jesus with praise and obedience? Have we grown numb to the good news? Even though it's the same news that the angels heard, that the shepherds heard, that Simeon heard. You know, I really think we got to meditate on that thought this morning and think about how we've grown numb to how important this is. You know, in summary, if the vast armies of thousands of angels in verse 13 are praising God, if Simeon's praising God, if Mary and Joseph are praising God, if the widowed prophet Anna is praising God, the question is, what are you going to do right now in your life? What are you going to do about it? The question is, are you praising God for Jesus? Is your life a life of praise to God? You know, from my research in preparing this sermon, there are at least 105 verses, passages in the Bible that talk about God being worthy of our praise and wholehearted devotion. Over 100 of them, a lot of these being Psalms. You know, here's one of them, Psalm 18, verse 3. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. David's getting that. I call upon the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. You know, at the end of the Bible, in Revelation, we get this picture of thousands upon thousands of angels worshiping God. And what are they saying in chapter 4? Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. That's what the heavens are not just saying the day Jesus was born, but are still saying right now in the heavenly realms. And what we want to do as the body of Christ, we want to join with them in that praise. You know, we sing songs here today. We're not just doing it just to have songs in the order of service or bring some energy in, right? No, we're doing that because we're seeing in Scripture that God's worthy of my praise.
Yeah.
And so one way we praise him, obviously, is in song. And in a second, we'll talk about how there's different ways of showing our praise to God. But I think all of this demands a response. And Paul talks about what this should be in Romans 12. Some of you may know this scripture well. This is the NLT. And I read this a couple days ago, and I felt like this, what Paul is trying to urge this church in Rome with, this is the same thing I want to urge and plead with you today. He says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world or New York City, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then, and only then, you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Amen? We gotta do this. We gotta put into practice what Paul is saying here. I love how it says, this is truly the way to worship him. What is he saying by that? Worship isn't just the songs we sing. It's not just Maverick City. It's not just Elevation Worship. It's not just when we sing, I thank God, and we go, get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave, right? That's a powerful moment, but there's a lot more time in our day and week where we're not singing, and God still is worthy of our praise. You know, praise is not just found in the music we make. I'm a musician. I love it.
Yeah, of course.
But although that is powerful, praise is more so found in the way we live our lives, in the decisions we make every day. God wants my obedience. He wants my turning away from sin. He wants my love for the poor, for justice. He wants my compassion for the lost. He wants that more than he wants me just to sing for a moment on Sunday morning. He wants it way more. And he wants our musical praise as well. But we got to realize that praise is more than a song. And again, you know, the title of the sermon today is He's Worthy of My Praise. And I just want to make it clear that God is most praised by when we sacrifice for him, repent of our sin, and say, I'm going to live a life for you, God.
Yeah.
That's really when we worship him. When we respond to the good news with genuine gratitude for what we have in him. You know, praise is when we say no to lust. Praise is when we bow down to our knees in prayer, even when we're tired and no one's looking. Praise is when we obey the scriptures, even when we don't feel like it, even when it doesn't make sense. Praise is when you're being a good friend to someone, even though they hurt you. Praise can look different, but it's all motivated by Jesus, and it's all because we get who he is. And so, for you, does God see in you a life of praise this morning? Does God see in you a life saying, he's worthy of my praise? You know, here's how I'll sum this up. You can take time to realize who Jesus is. You can fight to know him now. And if you do that, you'll see how worthy he is of your praise. And you can live this life for him. Or you won't take the time now to get to know Jesus, to seek him. Therefore, you probably won't see how worthy he is. You won't live a life pleasing to him. But one day, you will bow to the King of Kings. When Jesus comes back, the Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And so the question for us, not just today, but every day, is will we bow later when we have to, or will we bow now when we get to? When we get to say and have the luxury of time that God gives us to discover who he is and then say, God, you're worthy of my praise. So why not see who he is now? Right? Why not praise him now? Why not let him free you of your addiction to sin and your lack of life to the full right now? He's going to be worthy today. He's going to be worthy on Monday. And he's going to be worthy in your old age. And he's going to be worthy when we're passed on and when we're in heaven. And so we have to be people that say, I won't waste time in my life praising things that don't matter. Your classmates, your school, where you work, people are praising things that will give them nothing in return. People are praising things that actually take life from them, right? People praise brands. People praise influencers. You know, people praise just kind of accolades and graduating. And hey, man, graduate. We want you to. But guess what? Life's going to go on after that. And then there's something else that you're going to feel like, well, I got to find another way for people to praise me. But we shouldn't be looking for praise for ourselves. We should be saying, hey, life's not about me. It's about Jesus. I'm just trying to praise him. And I'm going to be a great student, and I'm going to pursue my career and my passions, but I will not live a life that says he's not worthy of my praise. Yeah. I will not live a life that says, you know, I get that other people do that Christian thing. I get that other people love worshiping Jesus. That's just not for me. That makes no sense. Jesus created you too. Jesus died for you too. Jesus lived a sinless life for you too and resurrected for you. And he loves you just as much right now as the day he died on the cross. Yeah. And so none of us can say, that's just for other people. He's worthy of all of our praise. Amen? Amen. And so if you're here today, we're all in a lot of different places in our walk with God. You know, this room is packed today, and it's getting hot. And so hopefully, you know, we'll get out of here soon, enjoy the nice weather. But wherever you're at today, just take that next step. You know, if you've yet to start studying Scripture with someone, start studying the Bible. If you've been studying the Bible for a while, and you know what God's calling you to do. You know the things in your life that he's saying turn away from. You know how to receive salvation. God's saying to you today, it's time. Yeah. It's time to turn yourself in. There's nothing else better on the other side. The grass isn't greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you watered it. And you got to invest in your walk with God and say, God, I'm done hesitating. I'm done waiting. If what you say in Scripture is true, which God can't lie, then I'm going to do it. And so do it today, wherever you're at. If you've been a Christian for a while, think about, how can I be like Simeon? How can I be like Anna? How can I be like Philip, who I talked about? How can I be someone that doesn't keep this message to myself, but brings it to other people? And you know, as a community, we want to be a community that doesn't point to us, oh, we're so cool, AONYC, we got coffee with our logo on it, you know, we meet at an old bar, you know. It's not about us. We're trying to be a community that helps people see how amazing Jesus is. But they can't see that if we don't love, if we don't show compassion, if we don't take a second to say, hey, would you want to come to church with me on Sunday? And so we want to encourage you, be a part of what God is doing here. Don't just look at this as a nice thing to do on Sunday morning. Get plugged in. Not just because community is kind of like a nice word, it has a good ring to it, but because we're sinners, and without people in our life, we just can't follow Jesus, right? Christianity is not a solo sport. And so guys, let's grow together and let's help each other be people that not just say it with words, but with our actions, we live lives that say he's worthy of my praise. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you, guys.